I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of this episode of Move. Jamie, are you ready?
Dude, I'm always ready. I'm strapped in. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be inspired, which is our word that we love to use.
Let's do this.
Part two of Move.
Do you think a lot of business and situation is it's a lot of luck comes into it? So you were launching yours. Obviously, it's a huge amount of hard work and things like that, but there is timing and luck comes into it. That you
massively
came into a moment where people were looking for independent brands.
Definitely. I mean, it was, and luck for me is, you know, you need to put yourself in the right situation, and yes, you need to have an idea and stuff like that, but you need an element of luck to like really. I think sort of get that break, like to a certain extent, whether it's a meeting someone or the right timing, or, you know, you've got to put yourself in that situation. And I think you've got to put yourself in a situation to fail, but it's the best feeling when you're on the edge.
And that idea of failure is the biggest thing that most people fear when going into business, is they're so worried that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, you're in the New York scene, you put it on a stone, you came back.
Banged on some weight. Oh yeah, chubby days. And it was amazing. So, you know, I was there and like, you've been to New York and like energy is just popping and like the food scene there is great. And then like, you know, you step on the plane and you're like, I've got this amazing idea, like, woo. And then you're like, I don't know anyone and I'm just gonna go and eat some burgers. But anyway, so you go and like smash this for a week. I felt so sick, came back inspired, you know, written down on my notes, grabbed menus from everywhere, tried to chat to loads of people, X, Y, Z. And then, you know, and this is going back to that sort of naivety, but in a really, and looking back, it's fucking awesome, but hilarious. Because I was like, you know, 20, whatever it was, 24 years old. And I was sort of like, yeah, I'm going to raise like 1-2 million quid. I'm going to open an epic site in Soho and I'm going to smash it out of the park and all this sort of jazz. And at the point as well, this is when Shake Shack in New York had really started to sort of kick off. And, you know, it's in New York, it's an incredible brand, basically. And it had an amazing, and it does have an amazing following. And I think, you know, I thought I was going to get like the equivalent of Shake Shack basically off the ground in central London. And quickly did I realize that I was just fucking Mugville, but in the best possible way.
So you went out and tried to raise money.
So I had this pathetic business plan.
That was my next question. Did you have a plan?
It was comedy, mate. It was comedy, but it's brilliant. You know, you've got to go through that. And I remember I went and, you know, I had some good contacts and I, you know, you put yourself out there and I was meeting as many people as I can. And
what did the plan say? What was it?
In a nutshell, it was like, trust me, give me some cash. It's going to be awesome. Like essentially, and I turned that into about 30 pages. And like the branding, like was laughable, but it was great. It was a great starting point.
Were you selling the brand or the product at that point?
I was selling everything, mate.
I was selling myself.
Yeah, I was selling the whole shit.
Because I think your biggest weapon is you, Joe, as a person.
That's kind, mate.
It's true. No, like,
you just call him a weapon.
Yeah. Just, no, cheers, mate.
But it is. It's true with you, Joe. You know, we've met many times, and you are a unique individual in a very good way. And I think people probably bought into you as the person.
I think, you know, it's the same. I was a lot looser like back then. Like as I was, you know, married now, father. But, you know, you have zero responsibility. So you're just like, you'll just go get them, like attitude, like 110 million%. And sort of, you know, like we were discussing, zero fear to just put yourself out there and just get it smashed down. And I think when I was trying to gain traction, you know, I spent literally like, this was probably about a 3-4 month period where I was trying to meet as many people as I possibly could. And, you know, I was going into those meetings and what I would say is, you know, you're always going in with a full sort of positive mentality and mantra. And I was, you know, my mindset, I was meeting some pretty great people, sort of high net worths, industry peeps, X, Y, Z. And my mindset was, if I can just get one thing that comes out of it, one sort of positive point, then it's a result, it's a good meeting. And a real turning point was, by this point, this was about 2-3 months in, and I'd gained zero traction. And I was like, fucking, and now the self-doubt is creeping. You're like, ooh, maybe I am a little bit on the wrong path here, or am I doing the right thing, or X, Y, Z? But, like going back to what we discussed originally, you've just got to be so tunnel vision and obsessed with what you want to achieve. And I went into this meeting with, like, I won't say his name, a really successful industry person, not my bag at all in terms of what he's created, but still respect in terms of sort of large groups and, chains and shit like that. Hate chains. But, and I went into the meeting, he was like rolled up like 15 minutes later, and I'm there like grass, like green, hi, what's going on? Yay, buddy, here's my, pathetic business plan. And he was like, I got introduced to a mate of a mate, so he was doing me like him a favor, sat down, and he was basically like, what do you want to ask? I'm pretty tight on time here. And obviously I was, look, I've got this amazing idea. I'm going to do an incredible burger joint, and it's going to be all based on the experience and super less is more, small menu, do the best of the best and try an accessible price point, all this shit. He was like, and I was like, look, have you got one bit of advice? He was like, don't do it. I was like, motherfucker. I was literally inside, I was like boiling. I was like going, and I was like, respectfully, I was like, thank you. He was like, look, we've got, he was like, this industry is really hard. You've got minimal experience. We've got a burger restaurant that we're sort of testing out and we're going to roll, but it's really tough market and, it's not doing that well and X, Y, Z. And I was just like, I just came out of that meeting, a mix. I could have come out of that meeting like fully deflated and sort of like, geez, this is not. And I came out of that meeting, to be fair to his credit, and this goes back to the one thing, he was like, look, maybe you should just try doing a pop-up to test it and get some, get some traction or anything, because you're selling an idea, but you don't really have anything to back it up. And I came out of that meeting, I was just like, I actually called my mum. Mama! And I was like, she was like, how the meeting going? And I was like, fucking dreadfully. And, she was like, yeah, I know, but and I was just like, I am going to get this off the motherfucking ground and I'm going to smash it out of the park and buy the guy's company. Obviously, I haven't bought the guy's company or anything like that. But, I came out of that and I was like, that was a real turning point. And I was like, you know what? He is right. If I continue down this road, I might waste another 6 months. I'm going to lose momentum. And more importantly, I might lose sort of self-belief. And so I was like, let's go back to square one. I sort of did a full circle and I was like, let's go and do some pop-ups. Let's develop the product. Because by this point, it was just an idea in my mind and I'd done a little bit of development, but not really sort of gone balls deep, so to speak. And so, I was just like, change the mentality. I need to do these pop-ups, gain some traction, momentum, and then see where it goes and really, put yourself out there.
It reminds me a lot of the kind of our early days. And, yeah. So many people kind of slammed the door in our face, told us
it's the best thing, man, isn't it?
Don't do vegan sweets.
The best thing.
Don't do natural. Don't do this. Don't do that.
Also, as soon as someone says no, you're like, yes.
Exactly. And it's those guys that make you want to go
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. 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 I've got respect for everyone. And, a lot of the people I was meeting, stuff like that. At the end of the day, and this is, why I wanted to do Pay as well, because I had I just had such a clear vision in terms of, I just thought that we could do something really, really special. And
I
think
there seems to be a little bit of a theme in terms of the guests Jamie and I have been talking to, that people just spoke a lot about their idea as well before it became a reality.
I think you've got
that
something
was important.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, you can ask my parents and mates, they were like, I'm so fucking bored about hearing about the shit. And it gets to a point where you're like, shit, I'm really tired about talking. I just want to
do it.
Do it, exactly. I was like, I've got to get this off the ground. And actually that fear was, turning it into essentially a tailwind instead of a headwind, which I heard from someone else, which is such good. Like,
it's a great quote.
Yeah,
that,
it's really Jimmy Iovine, motherfucker.
Love him, one
yeah.
of our favorite, yeah. favorite.
Unbelievable,
men,
isn't unbelievable it? No, and he said this, and I was like, shit, it just really resonated. But I mean, you know, at the time, the fear was, what the fuck else am I going to do if I don't get this off the ground? Because I know that I love this. I love restaurants. I love, you know, I think there's deeply rooted in me. One of my driving forces is that, you know, just really want to please people. I think, you know, essentially like to the core of a lot of restaurants, which should be, that you really want to fucking please people. I mean, like, they're coming in, they're spending money, and you want them to have a good time. And I think that's what, you know, I was always, I suppose that was probably subconsciously a deep, deep sort of trigger of mine, sort of as I was like a child as well, sort of going through. I really wanted to always, like, you know, chat to everyone and try and sort of please everyone. I think that has definitely resonated through.
And Joe, that's what we've experienced, and that's definitely what I had growing up. I was such a I wanted people to like me, and I wanted to do things, whether it was sport or friendships, whatever it was. Yeah. I wanted
like, please like me, yeah, please.
And we've had that with lots of our guests where the same thing is within them, that will to be liked and will to be desired, will to be known. But it's amazing with your story, because you then did your pop-ups. With Patty and Bun, you now have 8 standalone stores. You have 5 concessions. You are
cheeky events, mate, as well.
Events all over the place. But it's interesting, because you said you don't like chains. So with Patty and Bun, what is the future? What are you doing with it?
When I say chains, it's, you know, it's more the sort of the connotations of a chain, like, more than anything, because, you know, we have this internal discussion, and obviously we're, you know, our sort of mantra is, the bigger we get, the smaller we act, so to speak. And I suppose, you know, it's very, like you said, it's very personality run. It's super tight team, very organic. And, like, you know, we run it like a family, or at least I like to think.
How many people
we
in the team?
There's 250 employees, sort of, the whole company, and then sort of head office is about like 8 people. But I think the sort of chains has a bit of a, you know, bad connotations to it. Everyone goes, shit, you're a chain. Like, you know, you're going to naturally like go downhill, everything like that.
So what are you doing to stop Patty and Bun becoming a chain?
I think, mate, you know, it builds into what we were discussing earlier in terms of like, what's the brand like, and like, how does it sort of, what does it mean to sort of me and like the team, like, more, because you're working, you know, I really want everyone that works at Pally to realize that, you know, we're not trying to just like open growth for growth's sake, just tick boxes, open sites. You know, people are like, wow, you've got like 8 sites, but, you know, we've been going 6 years, and it's more, we're opportunist led. When a great opportunity comes about, we're going to go for it. Because it fits with like the brand DNA and like, you know, what's right for the brand, instead of just like tick box opened in Clapham or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just, you know, I think that's a really, really slippery sort of road. And I think that's where chains or, you know, you again, a lot in the high street now and everything.
It loses
and
it's brand all going, value, right?
Yeah, 100%. And you start to dilute the essence of what you're about. And I'll, you know, I like to think that we're a brand that stands for, you know, a lot of great things, and we're always trying to improve, but keep that small company mentality. And I think it's just, it's, I mean, a lot, you know, 99% of this is down to people.
Yeah. But also, Joe, naturally as business grow, it's your baby, you build it from the ground up. You have a co-founder as well.
Yeah. Well, Janky has helped me develop the menu. Like, so he's, and that was, you know, that's a meeting that I've genuinely talk about like moments and luck. If I hadn't met Janks, I'm not sure I would have got Patty and Bun off the ground.
And that's amazing. That's, but you know, so you build it basically pretty much by yourself. But as businesses grow, you have to raise more money. That's giving away equity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
the
vicious cycle of a business. And then what happens is that slowly by slowly, a business probably doesn't become your own. And that's a lot of cases.
Yeah.
How difficult do you find it to start to let go or start to give pieces of your business away, even though it's your baby?
Yeah, I think, it's a good question, buddy. Right at the jugular. No, I think it's the greatest thing. And look, it's a challenge every single day in terms of you're growing and you want to grow with the right mantra and X, Y, Z. And I think it's, we've done a couple of equity raises, but it hasn't changed for one second who we are as like as people and like a brand and what we're trying to achieve out of it, which is, you know, just creating something that's really, really great and trying to be better every single day instead of diluting things and seeing where we can drive the margins, stuff like that. But I think, yeah, delegation, I mean, look, from, I think the great, well, going back to, again, this sort of links into your question, mate, which is, you know, delegating and letting go and chains and stuff like that. You know, I was really conscious that I was really young and sort of had minimal experience, and I wanted to get my hands dirty and lead from the front because, you know, I'd never opened a restaurant before, and it was, and like to this day, it was the most exciting but the hardest fucking year and a half. James Street, the first year and a half of James Street, it was carnage, but it was incredible because, you know, we launched. We'd done like a bunch of like pop-ups, generate, there was a real great buzz, like, you know, generate some momentum. Again, going back to luck, I got introduced to a mate who had looked at this site down on James Street. James Street at the time in Marylebone was like, oh, is it right for the brand? Da, da, da. In fact, it was the best thing ever for the brand. But, and you know, we launched, and the first day that we launched, we'd literally, you know, I remember it, I was lit, just so nervous, I was literally shitting myself because, you know, you're at this point, you're, it's real, like, you know, you've got a site, you've got costs, and you just want to, you prepare mentally as best you possibly can, but until you open the door for the first day, it doesn't really, nothing sort of quite prepares you for it. And I think we, you know, I opened the door and we had the team, everyone was jacked up, 15 coffees, everyone ready for war.
Actually, I remember coming over in that first year and people queuing down the street.
Thank God, mate. I thought you were going to say first day because I would have comped your lunch because everything was fucked.
What were the biggest shocks then for you? You said it was carnage.
It was just the most unbelievable, like adrenaline every single day. You're learning as you go about everything until you're in it. And this is what, you know, people mentioned earlier, mate. People are like, oh, you know, this is how you did it. You just, you can't explain it until you're actually in it and doing it yourself. And on that journey, like, we opened the door and basically I was just ready to, I was just like, right, we're going to have a queue out the door, da, 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 da. And we opened the door at 12 and there was no one. And really? I was like, oh shit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm sorry. I was like, we're going to kill it. Like, get ready. No one. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And you're like
panic,
sweating.
Panic
I'm
starts.
Like sweating, thinking about it again. And then at 20 past, about 500 people rolled up and we were in the shit. And it was the best thing ever because... Well, it wasn't the best thing ever because we had to comp the entire lunch for everyone.
It was
immense. And like everyone, you're shoulder to shoulder. You are just in it to win it, head down, survival. And like, you know, from that point, James Street, because we had, you know, it was all the buzz and burgers were all the rage. And, you know, it was just an incredible time that, you know, you basically, as soon as you open the door, that's it, you're open. And you've got to learn quick or you're going to go backwards super quickly. You know, everything from like, shit, we haven't got enough like gas, or like, oh my God, like, you know, what's, oh, there's a flood in the, you know, like all this shit happens. And And you just, and it was the greatest.
I guess because you've got no choice. You just,
well, you've got no choice. It's either that or you're closing. And you've got, you don't manage.
And the biggest thing in business is you have to be able to adapt and change whenever.
100%, mate.
And constantly throughout.
Yeah, 100%. You're just going with it. And I think the best thing was that the, you know, you're just like, the team was just amazing. You're there with them and you're just hustling and like hard. And like when they see that you're there on the front line, like working, you know, 110 hour weeks for however long, bang, like it's what it's about. How can you, you can obviously, restaurants, you can be arm's length, you can be in it, but I've just, you know, how can you, especially when you're young and you've got minimal experience, you know, I always felt sort of bad, like if you're going to say you need something done, but you're not there or anything like that. And I think everyone sort of understands that it's more than just opening a restaurant.
And Joe, just want to know, what would you say is your biggest success and your biggest failure to date?
Good question, mate. Good question. Biggest success would be, I think, just getting to the point to get it off the ground. I think that for me, you know, it was so great, but it was only the beginning. Like, as in, like, you know, you're literally putting so much energy to get to that point, and it's like, ka-ching, now we've actually got to start, which is awesome. And I think, you know, on top of that, just sort of seeing Paddy grow and grow for the right reasons and in the way that it has. And I think failures, I wouldn't say, I'm going to be like, I'm not going to use the word failure, mate, because I think they're learning, buddy. Come on, don't bring that negativity.
What was your biggest learning curve?
Biggest learning curve, I think, you know, like I said, sort of learning every single day, but I think one of the best things that's happened and like recently was, like, we had a site on Redchurch Street, and Redchurch Street was, I think, a site that I took with heart instead of head. And it was a tiny little, I love Redchurch Street, like over in like Shoreditch, just behind Shoreditch House. And it's just such a great strip, and I love it to bits and XYZ, and it's got real rawness, but it's still in the heart of Shoreditch. And it was a 550 square foot site over two floors, which, like, in restaurant terms is tiny, but it had this amazing bar license. So I was like, and this was back when I was still like experimenting, you know, I was like, oh, we could do like epic little like cocktails, and we'll do like naughty food, like, but it'll still be Paddy and Bun. And it basically, all we did, and it was the best learning curve for me, we just fucking confused our customer. And that's the worst thing,
you've got to stay to your destination. Yeah. You've got to know what you are. 100%,
mate. It was a big jolt and big learning curve. And we ended up, I mean, it was doing fine. It was like treading water, so to speak. But we changed it so many times that it got to a point where, you know, we were wasting a lot of time, resource on it, and we couldn't maximize it for what it is. And I think that was a real sort of turning point in my mindset in terms of, you know, I'm constantly like trying to push like in different directions. But essentially, it was sort of go back to the fundamentals of, like, we do epic burgers, great experience, and like brilliant customer service, and people just want to come in and have a great time at Paddy and Bun, and they know what they're having before they go through the front door, and just do what you do and do it better every single day.
I suppose that's what you're saying is what Ed and I had is that we had to learn is that sometimes you're given a situation that you think is an opportunity.
Yeah.
But in fact, you have to take a step back and realize that even though it could potentially be an opportunity, is it right for your brand?
Yeah, definitely.
We had it, Candy Kittens. We've had retail spaces and people, you know, come to us and say, we want to stock your brand. And perhaps it's not right for us, even though they have, you know, big, like, numbers.
Yeah, yeah. We can make a shitload of money, but is it really right for us long term?
And I think what's so true to that we always go by is business is paid in two currencies, cash and experience.
Yeah,
take the experience first and the cash will come later. Don't do something because you want to make money. Do it because you love it and it's right for the brand.
I think... Jamie's getting passionate, baby, but I love it. No, I think, mate, you hit it, mate. At the end of what I haven't said and should have ages ago is you've got to absolutely love what you do. Like, I don't give a shit how clever you are or like how good at XYZ. If you it's, you can see through it in a heartbeat. If you don't bleed what you're doing in terms of like really want to create something for the right reasons. And that I think is where that sort of link in terms of what we're trying to create as a sort of legacy brand, instead of just like a chain, which is categorized by like numbers.
And that's absolutely so interesting. That probably leads into my question, yeah, is if you had to give advice to anyone going into the restaurant world, what would you say to them?
Fucking do it, baby. No, I think it's such an incredible industry. I mean, you know, everyone says restaurant industry is so hard. Of course it's hard. I mean, like doing your own thing is hard, full stop. I would just, you know, when people sort of, you know, ask me that sort of question, I'm just like, truly believe in what you're trying to achieve. And I would say there's no substitute for quality, especially in restaurants, like, you know, there's a lot of cash needed to get off the ground now, more than, you know, when we started. There's a lot of hurdles to jump through. You know, there's a lot of noise out there, and you need to make sure that if you are going to get involved in restaurants, or you've got a product even for retail or anything like that, it should be like the absolute best it can possibly be, and there shouldn't be any compromise on that. And like I said, you know, I'm not saying that we do things perfectly, but we're always trying to improve. And I think that's, you know, you've got to have that at the core of what you do, because if you don't have that, then you're going to get found out pretty quick. And it is, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, if you create something and people like it, it's incredible.
Jared, thank you so much. That's solid advice there. Right. I desperately want to go and have a burger for lunch.
Come on, baby.
Just one final question to finish on, which we ask all of our guests.
Yeah, yeah.
If you had to start a brand new business tomorrow morning, what do you think it would be?
Candy. Yeah. No. I would open a cracking open grill fished restaurant on the beach.
Really?
In the sunshine.
Yeah. Take the family down.
Yeah.
Go and
Kick it. Straight on the beach, little Chiringuito vibes, just proper passion project,
100%. Awesome.
Yeah. Joe Grossman, founder of Patty and Bun. Buddy, thank you so much for coming
on
the podcast.
Man. Thanks for having me.
Inspirational, you're a hero. Go and check out Patty and Bun, burgers in the world.
Yeah, come on, baby.
Bring
your
asses
down. Come on.
Joe, thanks very much, man.
Cheers,
appreciate it.
Cheers,
thank
guys.
You, Joe.
Big love.
Dude, I love it when we have a guest like that. Someone who is so passionate and inspiring about their business, their life, what they just
do. So passionate. I mean, we could have been here talking all day.
Dude, I love it. But he did say a few points throughout the whole talk that really inspired us. What was your favorite thing that he said?
For me, it was definitely Joe said, you got to know what you don't want to do. And I think that as business people, entrepreneurs, whatever you might want to call it, we go through life really kind of blagging it and pretending that we know what we're doing all the time. The reality is most of us probably don't. And you definitely have to know what you don't want to do, because there's so many options, so many opportunities. You've got to be pretty focused and make sure you're sticking to that path. So yeah, know what you don't want to do.
Yeah, they're so good. And my one was, which kind of is key for you and I, Ed, there is no substitute for quality. When we started Candy Kittens, it took us 18 months to develop the sweet, because we knew we wanted to make the best sweet possible. We launched a confectionery company with no candy. Joe's exactly the same. He said he wanted his to be the best quality product. Doesn't matter what you're doing, if you're a photographer, if you are a baker, if you are flipping burgers, never cut corners, never take a shortcut. Make sure it's the best possible thing you can do in life. And I think that was really true.
Absolutely. Really, really great chat. Love chatting to Joe today.
Until next time, everyone, this is Move. Thank you so much for listening. Honestly, it really does mean a huge amount. And we also hope today's podcast has inspired you to move towards your dream or passion. Now, if you like the podcast, please subscribe and leave us a comment. And if you'd like to get in touch, please email us at move@moveclub.co.uk or follow us on Instagram @moveclub. Until next time, this is Move.